So, Sunday school, I'd really like to have a class that's bigger, because there's so many kids here, if you're small, why don't you come down here and come to this area where I can see you, and where I can ask you questions, and where I can hear your answers.
Okay, well, we got a response.
That shouldn't help it. Make it hard for us to sing.
So, which one of you has a song you want to sing? Okay. All right, I think we can find that on here, and we can sing it even if it wasn't. Number 40. Jesus loves me. How do we know? How do we know Jesus loves me? Thank you. He said, because he said it in the Word of God. The Bible tells you that. Okay, let's sing number 40. Why don't we have somebody start?
Jesus loves me, yes, I know. Lord, three rows, I want you to sing the chorus for me, okay? Everybody else.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
I like to hear you.
What number? Do you have a number or just one in your mind? Number one? Well, that comes out all right, easy. Okay. Let's just sing number one. Think about it, though. You know, every week I sing some songs with some boys and girls that are a little bit older than you are, and most of them don't know the songs. But even if we don't know a song, even if we can't read the words, we can listen, can't we? And we can learn it. So you listen, or you sing, if you can, and think about what it says. Even when you sing it, think about what it says. Okay, number one. Sang are a little bit hard to understand when you're your age. And I'm trying to just think about you kids in the first two rows and sort of forget everybody else in the room. We'll let them listen, but this is especially for you. And just before, a few minutes ago, there wasn't anybody. None of you were sitting in these first two rows. And there was a boy that came down, and the way he was dressed, I think the other person with him, two of them came together down the aisle. They were the first two, and one was a little older than the other, but they were kind of dressed alike, so I think they were brothers. And they got down about this far and stopped. And the littlest one started back up the row. He was almost persuaded, but not sure. He wasn't sure he was going to come all the way. That's what it means to be almost persuaded. I'm thankful he got persuaded all the way because he's sitting in the front two rows. But we need to, when we're going to talk about something this morning, we need to be sure we don't come almost all the way and then stop. That wouldn't be good. We want to make sure we come all the way to the Lord Jesus. So you listen real carefully this morning to make sure you come all the way. Okay, we have time for a couple more songs. Yes, Maddie. 47. Thank you. Number 47.
Thank you.
I was your age, I sang this song, and I didn't understand it. So maybe some of you are like I was, and don't really understand, because it explains something that's, at first, when we're little, kind of hard to understand. But it tells us very clearly who the jewels are that we were singing about. It says in the third part of the song, little children who love their Redeemer, that is, who love the Lord Jesus, are the jewels. Do your mommy and daddy have any jewels? Your mommy and daddy have any jewels? Anybody thinking? Matt? What kind? Well, let me put it this way. I've been to your house, Matt. Suppose your house started to burn down. And your mommy and daddy only had a few minutes to take the most precious and most important things in the house out before it was burned down. The most important things are what we call jewels. What would your mommy and daddy want to take out of your house first? At least here's somebody that thinks he knows. What?
You.
You. Thank you. Exactly right. You boys and girls are the most important thing in your house to your mommy and daddy. Did you know that? If there was just a few minutes to get all the important things out of a house, you would be the very first thing that mommy and daddy would want to get out of the house. You're their jewels. And God wants you to be one of His jewels. The most important thing to God is His family. Most important of all is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But He wants to have us in His family as His jewels. And that's what this song is talking about. God wants you to be one of His family. The most important things to God. Let's be part of His family. Okay, we still have time for another song or two. Yes. 46. All right. This is also a little bit hard. For children, it says, glad tidings. Anybody know what, well, not anybody, but do you know what tidings are? What are tidings? And even, we're going to make it even a little harder because we're not even going to sing. We're going to say T-I-D-I-N-G-S. It's fun to sing because it uses the letters. But part of the importance of singing it is so we understand what we're singing about. What are tidings? News, right. Someone says, I have some news. I want to tell you something. Those are their tidings. They're giving you their tidings. So it says, here's some, this song talks about, I have some good news or glad tidings to bring. I want to tell you something good, the songwriter said. They said, what is that good news? Jesus came to save me. That's good news to me. It was when I was your age, and it still is. Good news. Jesus came to save me. Okay, let's sing about this good news or glad tidings.
Oh.
43? All right, number 43. How many of you are three? Nobody up here is three. Okay, how many of you are four? You're four? Good. Glad you're here. And it says seven. Anybody here seven? Okay, got a seven-year-old as well. So we got some. Do you think this would include you if you're not three, four, or seven? Is this song for you? Yeah, it's for you too. So let's all sing it. It's for us. Sunday school every Sunday, every Lord's Day, and there's a memory verse that the kids your age learn. So I think some of you come from places that have a Sunday school like that. Do any of you know where the memory verse was that was in your Sunday school paper for today? What is it? You want to say it for us? Why don't you stand up and say it?
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Matthew 7:13.
Very well said. Anyone else? It's kind of harder to say it here than it is in Sunday school at home, isn't it? There's so many more people around. Anyone else? Go ahead. Turn around. You're not afraid.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Matthew 7:13.
Anyone else? Raise your hand.
Okay.
Enter ye in to the straight gate, for broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Matthew 7:13.
Okay, thank you. Make this.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in there. Matthew 7:13.
Okay, thank you. All right. Some of you have a Bible. I'd like to read a verse near the end of your Bibles in the book of Revelation. And it's found in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation, so those of you that have it, and I'm going to read verse 8. Revelation 21. Verse 8. God says, the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, There's quite a few words in this verse that I think you don't know. You don't understand. And we're not going to try to explain those words to you. We're going to concentrate on the words that I think you do understand. Here's talking about God's telling us about some people that go to the lake of fire. Well, we don't maybe understand too much about that place, but we know it's bad, don't we? I think we all know we don't want to go there. And so it says, though, one of the things it mentions in the list is liars. Liars, people who tell lies. I'm going to back up for a minute. A few weeks ago, I got to meet for the first time one of my grandsons, Paul. And Paul is just a little over 2 years old. And it's a joy to be with your grandchildren. Paul's younger than any of you in the front row, or front two rows, front three rows. But Paul has a stack of books, mostly pictures in the books, but they have words too in his books. And Paul would quite often he would go over to the corner where his books are and he'd pick a book off his pile. And he would come over to me, and I was sitting in a chair, and one time he said to me, "Read this book." He's only two, but he likes to hear stories. And so he wanted me, he said, "Read this book." And he got right up on my lap, and he sat on my lap, and I read him the book. Now, when I was your daddy and mommy's age, I'm older now, but when I was your mommy and daddy's age, I used to tell my children stories and read them books. And I found out after a while their favorite stories were these. They were what we came to call "tell me when you were a little boy" stories. They wanted me to tell them stories about when I was a little boy. And that's what I'm going to do for you this morning. I'm going to share with you some stories about me when I was a little boy your age. Because those stories, things that happened to me when they were a little boy, are still very important to me because of what I learned. I wish I could just sit here and take one or two of you up on my lap and tell you those stories. Because then I think you'd listen real carefully. But you can't do that. I can't do that. So you just try to listen, all right? Here's one of the stories when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy your age, my mom had a rule. And that was, you always had to wash your hands before you sat down to eat. And so, sometimes when I came to the dinner table, my mom would say, not always, but she'd say, "Did you wash your hands?" And I like to be able to say, "Yes," and sit down and eat. Once in a while, I had to say no. And she said, "Well, then go back and wash your hands." But listen carefully. I remember more than once when my mom said, "Did you wash your hands?" Out loud so she could hear me, I said, "Yes." But real quietly so she couldn't hear me, I said, "Yesterday." Now, I'm going to tell you something about that. Before I tell you, though, I keep in my pocket a book. And in this book, I've got dozens of them now that I still have, but I have a book, a notebook. And when there's anything important in that notebook, I open it up and I get my pencil or pen out and I write it down because I want to remember. And finally, I use up this book. It's about half gone. I'll get another one, and I'll keep doing it. I copy down important things. Now, when I said to my mommy that day, no, or yes, and under my breath, yesterday, do you know what God did? God has books too. And God got out His book that has my name on it. And God opened up the book that has my name on it, and He wrote something down. He wrote down, my name's Don. He wrote down, today, Don lied to his mom. That's pretty serious. It was important enough for God to write it in His book about me. What did we just read, boys and girls? All liars have their part in the lake of fire. What that means is, when I told my mom that, and God wrote it down in His book, I deserve to go to the lake of fire. Sin is an awfully important thing. God has a book about you. Has He written anything down in your book today or yesterday? You think about it. One day when I was a little boy, my mom went to a store. She went in the store and she was looking around in the store. And I was looking around in the store too. I don't much like to go to stores anymore, but when I was a boy, I liked to go to stores. And I went around, and as mom was talking to the sales lady, I was walking down the aisles of the store, and I saw some scotch tape. I don't remember anymore why it attracted me, but I decided I wanted some scotch tape. So I went to my mommy and I said, Mommy, can I have some scotch tape? She said, What do you want scotch tape for? And I didn't know. She said, no, I don't think so today. And she went back talking to the sales lady. I wanted that scotch tape. And when she was talking to the sales lady and she was over in that part of the store, I went back to where the scotch tapes were. And I reached over and I took two of them and I put them in my pocket. When my mom was done, we went out of the store and we went home. And I started to get afraid. What was I going to do with those things in my pocket? I didn't want to be found out. And I was a little boy like some of you are little boys, and I thought, I better hide it. Where can I hide it? I'll hide it under my bed. So I crawled under my bed and I hid my scotch tape under my bed. A couple of days later, my mom, it was in the summertime, I don't know if I was school age or not, I think I may have been. Anyways, my mom came in my bedroom to clean. And she had a dust mop to clean. It was a wooden floor to clean the floor with. And my mom went under my bed with her dust mop. What came out? Two rolls of scotch tape. I was found out. I don't want to take time to tell too much of that, more of that story, but my mom took me back to the store. I had to tell the lady what I did. And I got into pretty good punishment at home, too. I've never forgotten it. I don't know that I've ever stolen anything from a human being since that lesson. Sorry to say, I've many times stolen from God, but that's a little hard for me to explain right now. But my mom and my dad decided what punishment I needed to learn a lesson never to do that again. But what did God do? God got out the book. God wrote down what I did in the book. I was a robber. I stole. Last night, Mr. Imbo stood on this platform and he talked about a robber, didn't he? A bad man. I was a bad boy. And those kinds of things take boys and girls to the lake of fire. Is there anything in your book that God's writing? I want you to think about it. Because it's important to know, boys and girls, that God takes sin seriously. Very seriously. One time when I was a little boy, after Sunday school, my big sister and a couple other girls her age said, "We want to talk to you." And they took me outside to Sunday school, and around the corner of the building to the corner of the parking lot, I could go there this minute and stand. And they kind of backed me up against the wall of the building. And they said to me, "Are you saved?" I said, "Yes, I'm saved. Why do you ask me that question? Of course I'm saved." And they talked to me a little bit, and then they went away. You know, boys and girls, that question really bothered me. I said I was saved because they asked me, because I knew I should be. But they later on, I thought about it, and I said, "Am I really saved? Am I really saved?" I wasn't sure whether I was saved or whether I was lost. One time when I was a little boy, we lived in a house that had two stories, an upstairs and a downstairs. And downstairs was the kitchen and the living room and my mom and dad's bedroom. And upstairs were three bedrooms. One was mine, one was my older sister's at that time, and one was my older brother's. Later on, there were some more kids in our family. But at that time, there was my older brother and sister and myself, and downstairs, mom and dad. One time it was at nighttime, it was real quiet. And I woke up. The middle of the night. And I was lying in my bed and I started thinking, what if Jesus came and I've been left behind? I couldn't hear any sound. So quiet. I had been told in the Bible, and you have too, that Jesus says, "I will come again." He's going to come and take those who have trusted in Him to heaven with Him, to live there with God. Jesus is coming to take boys and girls and mommies and daddies who have trusted in the Lord Jesus to heaven. But He also says, "Be ye also ready." When He comes, you have to be ready. So I lay in my bed and I was worried about it. I got up real quietly went out of my room and went to my big sister's bedroom, and I opened the door and I looked in and she was lying on her bed. But I was still not satisfied, so I went around to my brother's bedroom and I looked in, and my brother was still in his bed. I went back to my bedroom and thought about it for a while, and then I thought, what if my brother and sister aren't ready either? I want them to be ready to go to heaven, to be with the Lord Jesus, with my mommy and daddy. So very, very quietly, I got out of bed and went down the stairs to my mommy and daddy's bedroom. And I, as quietly as I could, I opened their door and I looked in. And a voice said to me, "Donald, what's wrong?" It was my mommy. She always slept, seemed had an ear for us. And she woke up and she said, "What's wrong?" "Oh, nothing, nothing, nothing." And I went running up the stairs before she could ask me any more questions to my bedroom. "Be ye, are you ready? If Jesus comes today, while we're talking?" One more little comment about being ready. I was a little boy then. When I was like some of these teenagers in the room, my dad used to take me to school on his way to work. And my dad had a time when we were to leave, to go. And I was told, "Be ready." And once in a while, I wasn't ready when it was time. You know what happened? My dad left, and I was left behind. And I thank my father for that lesson. When it's time to be ready, boys and girls, you be ready. You can't say. In fact, the verse that says, "Be ye also ready, for in an hour when ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." That is, we don't know. I knew exactly to the minute when my dad said it was time to go. But God says, "You be ready." You don't know. Now, I want to tell you one more story. But I want to read a verse to tell you that story. It's in 1 John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 14. So if you have your Bible, you can follow with me there. It says, "The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." I just want to tell you a little bit about that verse. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When I was a little boy, I said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me." Or words like that. I don't remember the exact words. "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me." And then I thought, I'm saved. But then a few weeks later, or a while later, I wasn't always sure. And if you could put it this way, I tried to get saved all over again. And that happened for quite a long time in my life when I was a little boy. Now, I want to tell you what helped me, because this point in my life came, I've never been uncertain that when Jesus comes, I'm going to heaven. I'm just as sure I'm going to heaven as I am I'm standing here in front of you this morning. I am going to heaven. One of the things I learned as a little boy is that God always tells the truth. Isn't that right? God never lies. People lie, but God always tells the truth. And so if God says something, I can accept it as true, can't I? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is what went in my mind one time when I was a boy. I wasn't sure that I believed the right way or believed enough to get to heaven. But one day when I was thinking about it and I was worried about it, I thought about it this way. God said Jesus came to save me. And the Bible says, I could read the verse, Christ died for our, or I'll say my sins. God says Christ died for my sins. Then I thought, is God satisfied with what Jesus did for me? Is He happy that Jesus put my sins away? I thought, well, God says He did it. He's happy about what He did. I'm going to be happy too. God says Jesus put my sins away. And I believe God tells the truth, and He's satisfied that Jesus put my sins away, so I can say, my sins are gone. God says so. It isn't going to happen quite this way, but suppose I came to the door of heaven and I knocked on the door and I said, I would like to come in here to heaven. And someone said, an angel or the Lord Jesus said to me, well, why should you be allowed in here? You know what I could say? God says so. God says Jesus took care of my sins, so I should be allowed in. Would that be an okay answer? Jesus died for me. And God is satisfied that Jesus put my sins away. Can you say that? Is God satisfied that Jesus, with what Jesus did for you? That He died for your sins? You know, I said He kept a record in my life. And in that book, well, He's got another special book too, called the Book of Life. And in that book is my name. In that book are the list of people who Jesus put away their sins. And I can say, my sins are gone. I hope you can say that in your heart this morning too. And if you can, tell somebody. It'll make them happy, and you'll be happy too if you tell them what Jesus did for you.